Well, this is an awesome time of the year. We always enjoy the holiday season for various reasons. But one thing, it causes us to focus a little bit more on some things that are important. Seems like hearts are a little more tender. Seems like compassion is a little more prevalent. And the world seems to focus on Jesus more. And, of course, that's something we should do and must do all year long. But taking advantage of that, we thought that this month we'd look a little closer at the life of the Master. Last week we talked about how that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful, wonderful love that God did give us. And that was one of the greatest, or is the greatest truth, is that God loves us and cares about us. And today I thought that we would ask the question, does Jesus care? And to do this, I'd like to go to the book of Luke. There are four incidences that happen in Luke chapter 7 that remind us of the fact that Jesus is such a caring Savior. One of the passages there in Luke chapter 7, verse 13, says, when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion. This is one of the things that separated Jesus from the other religious authorities of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees. They knew the law, but they were harsh and vindictive. And whenever Jesus spoke on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount, it said at the end of his lesson, it said that they marveled, the people marveled, because he spoke with them to them as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. But Jesus had said things like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And don't just love those that love you, but love your enemies. So the compassion of the Master had begun to really come out in his discourse with the people. And so what's happening here in Luke chapter 7, and there are a couple of these events that are recorded in Matthew, so we'll kind of use both of those on some of these. But what's happened here in Luke chapter 7 is Jesus has just come down from the Mount, from the Sermon on the Mount. And so there are throngs of crowds that are following him. The word is getting out about this prophet, they called him, that he could heal people, that his words were words of truth and authority. And so people were following. There were runners that would go out to the cities and say, you know, I think he's headed this way. And so people would just follow him. And then when those had to go back, then there were that many more waiting for him, plus at the next place. So crowds and crowds of people. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't look at the throng of people. He saw individuals. Individuals that had needs. And he had compassion. And that means so much to me and you today. To know that you are not to God, you are not just a speck of dust on this cosmic ball of mud. You are you. And God knows you and loves you. And yes, He does care. And so, I want to ask some questions this morning as we look at these incidences, these that happened in the life of Jesus here. I want to ask the question, does Jesus care when sickness invades my home? After He's come down from the mountain and He's on His way to Capernaum, in Luke chapter 7, verse 1, there's a centurion, a soldier. And so he has a servant that's sick. And so he sends to Jesus and he says to Jesus, heal my servant. And there are several people that speak up for him because obviously this centurion is well thought of in the Jewish community because some of the Jewish leaders are the ones that come to Jesus and they tell him this man has he's given money, donated money to build our synagogue. He's a good man. We hope that you're able to help him. And so Jesus begins to go to heal this man's son or his servant. Maybe he had heard about the healing of Jesus of another fella, Roman, in John chapter 4, which had happened not very much before this. But this is a Roman soldier. He's a centurion. He's over 100 soldiers, just thus the word centurion. And again, he seems to be a good man, a God-fearer. It doesn't say that he was a Christian. But he was, I think, very sympathetic and very open to the teachings of Jesus. Anyway, in Luke chapter 7, we're told that this servant was lying paralyzed at the officer's home in great pain and about to die. And it says that he was highly regarded by the centurion. The old King James says that he was very dear to him. I know that all of us have had family members that have been very seriously ill. And I know that the kind of pressure and I know the kind of burden that puts on us whenever we're seeing loved ones that we care a lot about that are so sick and even unto death. And some of us have spent hours and hours and hours in hospital waiting rooms and in hospital rooms. And those are some pretty tough times. Those are some gloomy, gloomy times when you're sitting there and your loved one is ill and you've got all that time to think, and it just kind of closes in on you. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. Isn't it awesome to know at times like that you have a master that cares? And he does. And this story reminds us that he does. And Jesus responds to this this request by going to the centurion's home. And the centurion sends servants and to tell Jesus, "I'm not worthy for you to come to my home," showing his humility, showing his reverence for Jesus at his position. And he sends this word. He says, "I'm in charge of people. When I tell them to do something, they do it. All you need to do is just say the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus is so impressed. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those that were following him, "Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." Matthew 8, verse 10. And it says that, "And the servant was healed from that very moment." Now, I know that the time of miracles in this way has ceased. But I also know and do believe in divine healing. I believe that Jesus still cares. I believe he still answers our prayers. And we live in a wonderful and marvelous time of medical advancements. And I am so thankful. But when all is said and done, it's still that great physician. And we've seen prayers answered here, so I know that he does. And Hebrews 13, verse 5 reminds us that he is our strength forever. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Jesus cares whenever sickness invades our home. Well, does Jesus care when death breaks our hearts? Soon afterwards, Christ is traveling from Capernaum to the city of Nain, here beginning in verse 11 of chapter 7. And that's not very far, about a little over 20 miles to the southwest of Capernaum. And so Jesus is going to the city, and it says that, of course, the multitudes are following. And as they approached the gates of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Back during that time, widows were considered destitute. There weren't jobs as such for widows. And if she couldn't get married again pretty quickly, very often the worst then was about the only option for, and that was to become a prostitute or whatever to make a way. But this woman's husband had died, but she had a son. And now her son has died. This second tragedy has hit, and she's faced with a future with little hope. Some of you know how she felt, losing her son. There have been several of you here in this church family that have lost sons or daughters, and or have outlived your sons and daughters. And so you know how she's feeling. You know the heartache that invades your life whenever you have to give up a child. And I think more a mother. I'm not saying, daddies, that we don't know how to grieve. We do. But there's just something about a mother that loses a child that we may not understand. And those are some dark times. Those are some really, 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 really dark times. So does Jesus care when death breaks our heart? In verse 13, it said that the Lord, when he saw the widow's name, he felt compassion for her. And he also feels compassion for us. You see, Jesus hasn't changed. He's not literally walking the earth anymore, literally raising this dead, literally healing this sick, but he has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So does Jesus care then? Yes, he cared. Does he care now? Yes, he cares. Does he even know what's happened to me? Absolutely. That's what God's love has offered us. And Jesus coming to this earth was to die for our sins. Yes, that was the biggie. But another reason, and I think a very important reason, for his being here, for his walking this earth, for his being a part of everyday life and death, was so that we could know. So that we could know through the experience of Jesus that he was tempted in all points like as we. That he understands these things. It wasn't that God needed to send Jesus here so that he could understand us. He made us. He didn't need any reinforcement about who we are or what we are or how we feel. He made us. But we needed to know. We needed to know that God cares. And that was one of the purpose of Christ being physically on this earth. So we could understand that he understands. Well, he goes on and he touches the coffin. And young man, he says, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. Isn't that awesome? This was the first miracle of raising the dead that Jesus did in his ministry. So man, you talking about these folks were stunned. Duh, I guess so. The guy had been dead for a while. This was the final funeral procession. So he had been dead several days while they mourned. And back then, sometimes it would be a while. So it wasn't like that they weren't sure he was dead. This young man was stone cold dead. And Jesus raises him from the dead. And it says in verse 16, they begin to glorify God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. But my favorite part of the story is verse 15, when it says, "And Jesus gave him back to his mother." Isn't that sweet? Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, son, she's crying, but these are a whole different tears. The tears before Jesus were tears of sorrow. The tears right now that she's crying are tears of joy. And Jesus does care when death tears us apart. And he gives us strength for the day. Jeremiah 16 verse 19 tells us that. And as we look forward to a time whenever we can be reunited with our loved ones, 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 through 15, and that we don't have to sorrow as one that has no hope. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him does he see? And I tell you, Jesus cares. And this next one kind of throws me a little bit, but it certainly falls right into what we want to talk about today. Does Jesus care when doubts torture our minds? What happens next is that after Jesus raises this boy from the dead, you can absolutely imagine if word was spreading about him before, it's in hyperdrive, because it is just going everywhere. I mean, the news of Jesus raising somebody from the dead is just permeating throughout the entire country. In fact, it reaches all the way down to Manchurus and Pernia, which is in the eastern part down by the Dead Sea. And that's where John the Baptizer, is being held in Herod's dungeon. And so when John hears these things, in Luke 7 and verse 19, it says he sends two of his disciples to the Lord and asks him, "Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?" Old King James has, "Are you the coming one?" Now, you know John knows this. He's the one that was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. He's the one that was there when Jesus was baptized and the heavens opened up and a dove came down and the voice of God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You know he knew that. I'm wondering what is going on here. John, why in the world would you even want to ask that? But you know, first of all, let's just look at it from a natural sense. John has been in this prison, and he's alone, and he's been there, and he knows that they're going to kill him, but he doesn't know when. And so there's a lot of pressure on even a powerful, powerful man of faith like John. Now, I rather think, and I'm kind of thinking, well, not just by myself, I've read some things, that more than likely, it was not that he had any doubts that he was the Son of God. He just probably was thinking that Jesus wasn't carrying out the mission that he had in mind. Just like many of the others, and even the apostles in Acts, the first chapter, right before the day of Pentecost, they were still asking his own disciples, are you going to make a physical kingdom? When are you going to restore the physical kingdom? And John, I think, is more than anything else asking, are you the one that's going to do this? Are you the one that's going to lay this thing out? Are you the one that's going to get the army together? Are you the one that's going to bring it? He may have even thought that he was going to come and break him out of prison. I don't know. But I do know that there's some doubts here. John is thinking, did I fulfill the mission that God gave? Was there something else that I could have done? I wonder. I don't know what all is going through his mind right now. But I know that there's not a one of us that hasn't had some doubts from time to time. Even the strongest of those of us that have faith. There are times whenever this world can really, really put a lot on you. Things just keep coming, and you think maybe, you know, you kind of get this one, and then there's something else that comes up, and you just think, you know, why is all of this going on right now? Why is all of this happening to me? And the answer, you know, I don't know the answer, but it could be that. Satan just sees you as one of God's great faith people. And he needs you. He needs you to hold on and to trust him, because there are so many others that are looking to you as a strength person. And so you keep on doing the best that you can do and keep your faith and do what's right. And the Lord will reward you. And that's what Jesus was telling him here. He said, they came whenever he was in one of his busiest healing sessions, and Jesus didn't say, well, shame on John. You know, you go back and tell John that I said, I am really disappointed in him, because he ought to know better. He didn't say that. He just told him, said, go and report to John what you've seen and heard, that the blind receive their sight, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so that's what they go back and tell him. And he adds a great commendation about John. He said, you tell whomever. He said, blessed is he who does not take offense of me. Luke 7, verse 23. Translation says, happy is the one who does not lose his faith in me. And then he compliments John. He says that among those born of women, there's no one that's greater than John. So, yes, even whenever our faith is tested, Jesus does care. And he then follows that with this, what we call the great invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And my burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread of fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does it care enough to be near? And then finally and quickly, One of the Pharisees invites Jesus over to his house. And I don't really know why he asked him over there, because he was very rude to him. And while he's there, though, there's this woman that comes in. And it says here that she began to wipe his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair and of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. And this Pharisee, his name's Simon, he's shocked. Well, he says to himself, well, if you really were a prophet, you'd know who's this is, who's doing this to you. You'd know that this woman's a sinner. Of course, when he was throwing accusations in his mind to Jesus, all he was doing was condemning himself, because for one thing, Jesus read his thoughts. And so he turns to him and he says to him, he said that if to whom much is forgiven, they love much. To whom a little is forgiven, they love little. He told him a little parable about servants that owed a big and not so much. And I think he got the point. But it just reminds us that Jesus is there when we're overcome by sin. And he cares about us. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Jesus does care. He cares when sickness invades our home. He cares when death breaks our heart. He cares when our faith is assaulted. And he cares when we are overcome by sin and are seeking forgiveness. Sing the chorus with me. Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And so it is that Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him. Now watch this. Watch it. Because he cares for you. Does Jesus care? Absolutely. And I am so thankful that I've got a Father and I've got a Master that knows what's going on in my life and can be there when I need help. I am so thankful for the strength and the power that comes by knowing that Jesus cares. Will you come while together we stand and sing?